If you just smile.
Mr. Chris Botti, the superstar trumpeter. His most recent CD, To Love Again, the Duets, which we just heard from. We heard Smile with Steven Tyler. It raced to the top of the Billboard Jazz charts. And, in part due to his PBS specials. He's a gifted instrumentalist, talented composer, and charismatic performer. It would be hard to deny that he's one of the brightest lights in the realm of contemporary jazz. I'm going to be giving you a chance to win To Love Again, the Duets, courtesy of Sony BMG, after we get a chance to talk to Chris. He's best known as a contemporary jazz performer, but he made his initial splash along with Paul Simon. He was a key sideman with Paul Simon in 1990, and he also commenced a two-year collaboration with Sting in the year 2000. And we are pleased to welcome Chris Botti to Anything Goes. Good morning, Chris.
With an introduction like that, who needs to wake up in the morning? That's pretty fantastic.
Well,
thank you.
I thank you for waking up on the West Coast to speak with us here on the East Coast, but you can have sympathy for us because we are snow-covered. We are encased.
You are indeed, and guess what? I snuck into New York, and I'm actually not on the West Coast anymore. I got in really, really late this morning, early this morning, and now I'm on the East Coast, so I know exactly what you're going through.
Oh, do you now? So you're walking around in the slush and the crispiness all along with us. You're going to be doing a gig this coming Saturday out on Long Island at the Tillis Center.
I am indeed, and it's a beautiful place to play, and I'm looking forward to coming back there.
Terrific. And that's on Saturday, March 24th at 8:30 p.m. You guys, you've heard me talk about the Tillis Center before. If you would like more information, you can call the box office at 516-299-3100. But Chris Botti, you are in the studio recording a new album. Can you give us the QT on what it's going to be like?
Well, it's sort of my records sort of have a tendency to evolve into something as they go along the journey, I suppose, the lack of a better word.
Mm-hmm.
For instance, the last record, we weren't even supposed to do a duets record, and it just sort of became that over time. And this record is sort of starting out as an Italian record, believe it or not, sort of with a lot of material that is not really classical, not really jazz, but somewhere in between, that has to do with Italy. And it's sort of morphed into, I kind of go out and say that Graceland wasn't always about Elvis, you know, like it was a lot about South Africa. And so, you know, it's sort of become yet another romantic record, but with a tip of the hat to some beautiful Italian melodies.
Now, can you tell us how a record can evolve from just an idea to either a duets album or an album with Italian music on it? Because most of us think that an artist sort of chooses songs and goes into the studio and records them. So what's the difference with your artistic process, Chris Botti?
Well, it's sort of like a relationship, and sometimes you get into things and you know, the advantage to being an instrumentalist is that you can do a lot of different genres. You can touch on a lot of different things and have it all make sense, because the trumpet kind of, you know, acts as the grounding post for everything. And that's one of the reasons I think that we could go in and do a duets record with some varied artists, all the way from, you know, Rosa Passos to Steven Tyler to Sting, you know. And so, because the trumpet sort of links all of them together. When you do other kinds of music, the trumpet does the same thing, because you don't have the lyrics to deal with or the language to deal with. You can go in and do a bossa nova and then follow it up with a Stardust or something like that, and then follow it up with an opera song, you know, and that's kind of the advantage. And so when I look back at my most successful ventures, they've all been sort of, you know, my When I Fall in Love CD and the To Love Again CD, they were all very, very the songs were very different and the approaches were very different. And so, you know, the relationship of this record, which I think is going to be called Italia, which will be out in August,
uh-huh.
is just sort of forming, you know, and we're sort of getting the material together. And we go in and record 20, 22 songs, and then we sort of shuffle the deck and see what comes out as a record with 12 songs.
And can we expect guest artists on the new album as well, Chris Bode?
Not very many. I mean,
uh-huh.
I think there'll be a couple, but this won't be a singer's record whatsoever. And this will be much, much more of a you know, dreamy jazz classical record. And that's the way we really wanted to have it this time.
That sounds really very interesting. I look forward to hearing it. And now, I guess I need to ask you, now, to Love Again, the duets, the success of it was partly due, I'm guessing, to your PBS specials, but you pulled in an awful lot of old friends like Sting, and can you tell us a little bit about how this came about? Now, Paula Cole, I know you have worked with before sort of extensively, so how did people don't just necessarily walk into the studio. Somebody has to call them up and ask them to come and record. So how did that happen?
Well, all of the artists that we had on the record are my friends. I mean, Steven Tyler and I go way back socially because one of my best friends who I was on the road with, a guy named Russ Irwin, who's from Long Island. When I was on the road with Sting, he was the background singer with Sting, and now he is and has been for a long time the keyboard player and singer along in Aerosmith. So I know Steven quite well socially. He was the very first guy I called to sing on To Love Again. And I remember I was somewhere in the Midwest on the tour bus, and I called Steven on his cell phone. And I said, Steven, would you consider doing like a dark, brooding version of Smile with the London Symphony Orchestra? And he was getting on an amusement park ride with his family right then. And he's like, you know, he says to me on the phone, he goes, yeah, man, sounds great, let's do it. You know, he's such an up personality, and I didn't really think that he would actually go through with it, you know, because people's schedules or their desires change or whatever, you know, personal, whatever, you know. And he walked into the studio 4 or 5 months later and sang so beautifully. And so what happened is that then subsequently I'd be having dinner with Sting, and I'd say, yeah, Steven Tyler's going to sing on the record. And Sting glares at me and he says, if you don't ask me to sing on this record, I'm going to get really upset with you. So it just sort of evolved into that that kind of situation where it became a duets record. I just played on Michael Bublé's record, so he returned the favor on my record, and Paul Buchanan and I go way, way back from the Blue Nile, you know, and so, you know, those kinds of, it just sort of evolved, like the Italia record is sort of evolving as well, you know, and it became, you know, a record that we called the duets record, but we didn't even call it a duets record until the record was completely finished and we took it to the record company, and they said, let's call it the duets, you know, and so, I don't know, you know, those sorts of things just kind of happen along the way.
Well, it's your job to make the music and the record company's job to do the marketing and figure out what to call it so the people can remember, right, Chris? And
correct.
You're tuned into Anything Goes on member-supported WFDU-FM. I'm Lise Avery. We are talking to Chris Bode. And, Chris, it says here, I got this online, so you'll have to tell me whether or not it's correct, that you are playing a Martin Committee trumpet made in 1939? Is that
yes,
correct?
Indeed. Yes.
Tell us about your trumpet. How does one select an instrument when it's a trumpet? I have a greater understanding of how you would select a string instrument like a violin or a bass, but how do you select a trumpet?
Well, first of all, string instrument like a violin, they're worth so much, much more, you know, and a lot of people have these trumpets. My particular trumpet I just like because it's the same brand that Miles Davis played, and they have a beautiful kind of warm, approachable sound.
Uh-huh.
Sometimes the trumpet can be a laser beam and, you know, like be more, you know, used in a marching band than say, like, you know, something whispered in your ear. And so Miles had that beautiful tendency to be able to connect in that way.
Uh-huh.
And I figured that if it was good enough for Miles, it'd be good enough for me. So I went out to try to find one. And, man, it's hard to find because they're not coveted a lot, and a lot of people really don't realize that they own them. They're sitting up in their attic, and their grandfather played them or their uncle or whatever, and they don't really realize the value of the instrument to someone emotionally, at least. So I was lucky enough to have a collector bring me a Martin Committee trumpet, and I played it and just fell in love with it in one note. and I knew that's the horn that I wanted to play. That said, I tried to find a backup for it, and they're hard to find, very, very difficult in parts of the world to find.
Isn't that something? So you have only one trumpet that you play, Chris?
I have a backup that's a different bore size, which
yeah.
means the tubing is slightly smaller. The large bore trumpet, which is the one I play, they're just so incredibly hard to find. I look all the time, and I have people out there kind of looking for me, and there's a gentleman in Long Island that I've contacted a couple times, and he's kind of on the lookout for me to try to find one, but it's tough. It's really hard to find.
I can hear a stampede on attic steps here in the Anything Goes listener area. If you find a trumpet that Chris might be interested in, send me an email, and I'll get that information to him. You're tuned
sure.
in to Anything Goes. I'm Lise Avery, and if you would like to see Chris Botti live, he will be on Long Island at the Tillis Center this Saturday, March 24th at 8:30 p.m., one show only. And you can give them a call at 516-299-3100 if you would like information about that performance. And can you tell us other places you're going to be, Chris? Where can we find you in the New York metro area or anywhere?
Well, we're going to be in sort of New York metro area, Red Bank, New Jersey, and coming up here.
At the Count Basie Theater?
In May. Yes.
Ah, okay.
Count Basie Theater.
Okay.
And we're going to be somewhere in New Jersey. This is you spring this on me at the last second.
Ha ha!
But I know we're going to be back here in September, like
okay.
in New York City proper. And we're just getting all the details of that worked out. But it'll be in September. We'll be here again in New York.
Okay. Well, that will be to promote the new album, right?
Yes.
In September. Okay, well, I can get that information from your people or from Columbia Records, and we can move on from there. And as I said to you on the phone, I hope that you will consider coming into Full House Productions so that we can speak at greater length, and then I can air it here on member-supported WFDU-FM, because I find your artistic process to be fascinating. It's a different story than I've heard from any other jazz musicians that I've spoken to. Everybody's got a different artistic process, and it seems like yours is kind of a fortuitous one. Closest to
most jazz musicians just kind of go up and set up into a room and blow into a microphone like they would a club,
right? Mm-hmm.
And it just becomes a record in a day or two, you know. And because we have the advantage or disadvantage sometimes, you know, because you labor over things and for not the right reasons, of going to London to work with this orchestra, it gives us, you know, the ability to like. To record some stuff and then go to London and some stuff and then look back and think and, you know, and also we have the advantage a little bit because we've sold records that our recording budget is a lot larger than a regular jazz artist, you know, and so
mm-hmm.
it enables you to record a lot more than you really need. And so you go in and you just throw things at the wall and take chances, and then sometimes you fall flat on your face and sometimes it works.
You know, that's a very interesting point. That's true, especially lately. The budgets for jazz albums can be very, very small, but with the amount of success that you've had, you're given the latitude to experiment a lot more and a lot more backing. So that does give you a lot more artistic freedom, I would think. I just wanted to ask one more question about your trumpet. To me, when you use your trumpet, it is very close to what a vocalist would choose. Is that your intent, or am I just... I'm just endowing you with things that I believe. What's your intent when you bring a song to life with your trumpet?
Yeah, certainly. I think that the vocalists and the vocalists that I like to listen to, I try to emulate with my trumpet. But I think that any time you find someone that has a super unique sound on their instrument, whether it be Winton or Wayne Shorter or something like that,
mm-hmm.
there are tendencies to be that way as well. You know, they emulate their favorite vocalist, and their favorite vocalist might be somebody different than mine. But ultimately, it's when the tone of your instrument has your personality coming through it, whatever it is, then you're on to something. And that's such a difficult thing to do, and such an easy thing to say on the phone,
mm-hmm.
you know. But when you look back at whomever your favorite artists are that play something other than singing, when they have an identifiable sound, and that's when you have the connection, which feels like a voice to you, and that's just a great thing. And I feel so very fortunate that for some wacky reason, when I pick up this trumpet and play it, that it does have a unique sound and people know it's me and people, you know, feel that voice-like connection, and it's something I'm very grateful for.
Are you thinking about the lyric in your head when you're playing the trumpet, or are you concentrating on the melody?
I'm much more of a melody guy, and I think about the spacing. You know, when I watch Sinatra sing, I just saw a great thing actually on him on PBS recently. You know, it's the spacing and the way his diction of his, the actual pronunciation of his words, I can completely relate to the way I, you know, hold a note or stop a note or wait just ever so slightly to attack a note, or how loud I attack a note, or if you're going up a scale, sometimes, you know, vocalists want to, like, just sing always louder if they get in the upper register.
Uh-huh.
Sometimes Sinatra will do the reverse. He'll sing very loud down low, and as he gets up high, it's super whisper, you know?
Mm-hmm.
To do that on the trumpet, it's hard, you know? And so it makes you sort of stop and think about how you can approach different phrases in new ways.
Very cool. Well, I think I could talk to you for a very long time. I know you've got other interviews to take care of, Chris Bode, but I thank you so much for your time. I bid you a wonderful gig at the Tillis Center and hope that you will speak with us again here on Anything Goes.
You're so knowledgeable, and I appreciate you having me on your show.
Oh, you're very kind. Welcome back to the Big Apple. What area of New York, without revealing anything, do you live in?
I live in the wonderful Soho.
The wonderful Soho. Okay.
Yes.
You are south of Houston. We'll have a wonderful, terrific day, and thank you so much, and I look forward to meeting you in person and speaking to you at greater length, Chris Bode.
Okay.
Thanks so much.
Care.
Thanks for your time.
Bye.
And we'll be giving you a chance to win Chris's To Love Again CD in just a minute or two here on Anything Goes. But before we do that, let's hear another track. I'm Lise Avery. Thank you so much for tuning in to Anything Goes.